Wang Fu started up the stairs, staying to the outside on each tread so no loose boards would creak and give his approach away. Two of his men joined him, the closest gently tapping his shoulder to let him know that the downstairs rooms were secure. Verna, the proprietor of the B&B, had been easily seized, drugged, and persuaded to open the safe. The belt plaque was safely in their possession. The three men crept like shadows to the door of Anya Creed's room. Wang Fu put his hand on the knob. Locked. Wang Fu debated only a moment between picking the lock or breaking the door down. Knowing that his quarry was merely a woman, he decided to go for shock rather than surprise. Taking a large step back, he set himself and drew back a leg. With the tranquilizer pistol raised before him, Wang Fu rushed into the room, arms braced in a defensive square, the pistol close to his body. Even then, he was almost caught flat-footed when the woman turned on him with amazing speed. She had her backpack slung over her shoulder. She drew her right hand back like she was going to throw something in a sidearm motion, but her hand was empty, or so it seemed. To Wang Fu, it was as if the sword appeared out of thin air, but there was no time to wonder now. The long blade barely missed the wall and arced straight for his throat. He stumbled back and lifted the tranquilizer gun to defend himself. The impact of the sword's blow tore the pistol from his hands and left most of his fingers numb. He crashed back against the two men behind him, all of them going down. Anya Creed turned from them, fleeing toward the bathroom. As she ran, the sword vanished like it had never even been there. Although Wang Fu had never been a believer in the old legends of monsters and magic, the hair at the back of his neck stood up. Blood on his wrist leaked from a shallow cut that had grazed his skin. Something had touched him that was suddenly no longer there, disappearing as quickly as it had appeared. Wang Fu drew his other bullet-filled pistol from his shoulder holster and took aim as he scrambled to his feet. In full flight, Anya ran through the open bathroom door, put a foot on the edge of the tall tub, and unhesitatingly launched herself through the window. She landed on the slanted roof, just barely maintaining her balance. Anya's heart was thumping wildly. She knew the plaque had been important to Wang Fu, but this seemed to up the ante even further. As Anya slid down the edge of the roof, riding a wave of cascading glass shards, Wang Fu shoved his pistol through the broken window and fired at her. Bullets ripped across the shingles near Anya's head. Two slid free and skidded over the roof's edge. Anya pushed herself forward, knowing she had no choice but to follow them. She leapt from the roof, throwing herself forward so she wouldn't land in the rose bushes. Her boots hit the soft earth and she dropped to her knees, catching herself on her hands. Thankfully, she could tell that nothing was broken. She pushed herself up, noticing a man's shadow looming over her from the roof of the house. Anya veered to her right just in time. Doubling back close to the bed and breakfast, Anya headed for the parking area toward the deputy and her vehicle. She could only hope that Wang Fu hadn't been smart enough to leave a guard waiting there to cut off her escape. Pausing at the corner of the building, Anya caught another glimpse of Wang Fu from the corner of her eye. Anya dashed forward as bullets chipped the corner of the building above her head. She ran for the deputy's cruiser, praying the man was still in his vehicle.
No.
Peering through the windshield, Anya saw the deputy sprawled across the seat. She didn't know if he was alive or dead, but didn't have time to find out. She took off running again. Fumbling out her electronic key fob, Anya popped the locks on her rental SUV, clawed the door open, and slid inside. She started the engine, then dropped the transmission into gear. She stomped on the accelerator and shot off toward the street. One of Wang Fu's men sprinted in front of the SUV and took aim with his pistol. The windshield spiderwebbed. Anya didn't slow down. The man tried to dodge away at the last moment, but the SUV caught him from the side in a glancing blow and spun him away. Pulling hard on the wheel, Anya skidded out into the street in a controlled slide. She fought the wheel just for a moment as the SUV fishtailed. Dodging cars, she headed for the highway as quickly as she could. She didn't even think about going back for the belt plaque. Anya knew now that that was one mystery better left unsolved. All she was interested in was getting out of town and escaping Wang Fu and his men. She was unsure whether they would pursue her or be content with their prize. But at this point, she would hope for the best. Anya had driven the SUV down a dirt side road only 10 miles out of Georgetown. She assumed Sheriff Barfield would have put out an APB on her and the vehicle, and though she couldn't crawl out of her own skin, she could ditch the rental. As she gathered her belongings from the trunk and prepared to set off by foot, she couldn't help but wonder about the owner and other guests of the bed and breakfast.
Barfield here.
Barfield, is Verna okay?
Where are you, Miss Creed?
Safe, for the moment.
You need to come back to town and let's get this thing sorted out.
Huang Fu Cao tried to kill me. Again.
And I want to know why. Now.
Believe me, Sheriff, so do I. Oh, and I think you might want to put Harry Kim and his daughter under protective custody until this is sorted out.
Why would I want to do that?
Because I showed them something.
And what did you show them?
A belt plaque I recovered from the grave last night.
Why didn't you mention that last night?
I wanted to know what it was.
If this guy Wong Fu wanted to kill you for it...
I don't know if that's why he tried to kill me last night.
Well, maybe it was the reason he tried to kill you today.
I think he tried to kill me today because he believes I took pictures of the belt plaque.
Did you?
Of course.
I'd like to see those pictures.
They're on the web. I'll give you the address.
That's not what I meant. I want to see those pictures and you.
Do you have an arrest warrant out on me now for trying to escape an execution?
At this point, Miss Creed... You're considered a person of interest, but I can get an arrest warrant for you.
Did you catch Huang Fu? I gather the answer is no, in which case I'm not coming back there. I've told you everything I know. Having me there isn't going to do anything but endanger my life, and I'm not going to answer any more of your calls until I talk to a lawyer.
Anya tucked her phone back into the backpack and retrieved a bottle of water from one of the side pockets. She sipped as she started off away from the SUV. No one would go to the lengths Huang Fu had without something important being involved, but Anya couldn't imagine what that might be. She resolved then, despite the personal danger, that she would find out before anyone else was hurt. Hot tears burned Kelly's cheeks. Her vision blurred, and she had to blink them away to keep reading. The note was dated only a few days earlier, and she recognized the penmanship as her father's. Gathering her thoughts, she looked over at Sei Chu Yu.
Have you read this?
Your father did not ask me not to.
Kelly looked back down, reading the note again to herself.
Dearest daughter, if you're getting this letter, it means I didn't get to see you. I regret that. And I wish things had ended differently. This has all been a surprise to me. This bag that Sei Chu Yu has given you is a legacy given to me by my father's grandfather. He was a very old man when I knew him as a child. He was not a learned man, but he knew about legends and myths, and he knew magic. At least to me, as a boy, I felt certain that that was what it was. When I was 12, not yet a man in my father's eyes, I saw my great-grandfather one final time before he died. As he lay there, taken by fever, he pressed this bag of bones into my hands and told me that he was going to tell me a story that he had never told anyone. As I listened to him, I thought he was hallucinating. His stories were wild and improbable. He said that one of our ancestors belonged to a group of assassins thousands of years ago, during the time of the Emperor Ling. These assassins were masters of poisons, specialists in silent death. He told me how feared the assassins were throughout Asia and Eastern Europe. He also said that they were hunted. Though they did the Emperor's work and took on tasks from the warlords, everyone they did business with feared them as well. After all, the assassins could just as easily turn on those who had hired them only the day before. The city of assassins lay somewhere along the Silk Road. They charged trade caravans for safe passage along sections of the road. For years they lived in such a manner, and their collection of wealth grew larger and larger. They lived in a cave somewhere underground in the shifting sands of the desert. It was in this cave that they died, our grandfather among them. I do not know how. Before he died, though, he gave that bag of bones to his wife and bade her keep hold of it. If he did not return, she was to give the bag of bones to their oldest son and tell him that the bones would show him the way to the treasure. That child became a man, and the man searched for his father to no avail. It was as if the desert had swallowed him whole. And so it has been for generations. There have always been sons in our family to pass this bag on to. Now, I have only you. I've searched for the answer to the bag of bones. Until lately, I thought perhaps the story was only that, a story. But now a man has found out about this bag of bones, a very wealthy and powerful man who is accustomed to getting his way. I still don't know how this man discovered that I had the bones, but he has, and it could cost me my life. I know you are grieving for me, Kelly, but please keep this bag of bones safe and see if you can find out the truth behind them. I have always loved you, and I love you still. I will be with you always. Your devoted father.